Once upon a time, I was invited to a costume party hosted by none other than Scott Coyer, the coolest kid in my fifth grade class. I know. Now, I don't know about you, but I remember fifth grade as the year that I first began to really take notice of the social hierarchy of things. The year when I first began to recognize that there was a sort of pyramid of coolness, with a few kids at the top and more of us closer to the bottom. And I was fascinated by trying to figure out the rules of this game. Was I at the bottom because I still wore sweatpants to school every day when all the other kids had taken up jeans? Or because word had somehow gotten out that I wanted to grow up to be a singer like Mariah Carey? It is not cool, but it is a dream I still cling to. As far as I could tell at the time, the most revered kids, the very coolest, were the ones who were the very best, the most skillful at making fun of other kids, which made the whole system, theologically speaking, a very particular kind of hell. Now, looking back now, it seems that the rules were mostly correlated with gender roles and who was the best at performing their part, boy or girl, male or female. Girls with fashionable outfits were, of course, higher up on the pyramid, as were boys who were good at boy things, like playing sports or hiding your feelings. Right? So back to this high-stakes costume party. I had spent weeks deciding whether to go as a clown or an army guy. I had gone back and forth, changing my mind, till I changed my mind for the last time at the very last second. We had actually left the house, but I ran back inside, threw off the clown costume I'd had on, grabbed the army guy outfit, and I got changed into that in the car on the way to the party. So you can only imagine my surprise when I arrived and learned that this was not, in fact, a costume party at all. Nope. It was an army-themed party. So at the end of the night, I won the award for best dressed, which is the only time in my life anyone's even considered giving me that kind of an award. Now, you would think that this miracle of good fortune would have left me feeling great about myself, but I was actually just as freaked out as ever, because I knew that even if I'd been dealt a good hand, the rules of this game were still not in my favor. I mean, just the image of showing up to that party in a clown costume is an image that, even though it never happened, is still so burned in my mind that it haunts me to this day, so much so that I'm preaching to you about it this morning. Fast forward a couple of years, and I attended a summer camp, a Unitarian Universalist community, where these rules seemed to be turned upside down. There were certainly still folks that were more popular than others, but they seemed to be the ones who were the warmest and the most welcoming, the ones that invited newcomers into the circle, the ones that fostered connection instead of competition. This was a place of genuine love. If you've ever found a place like that in your own life, would you say out loud right now, genuine love?
Genuine love.
I remember wondering, how does a place like this even happen? One conversation that perhaps explains it a bit has stuck with me. I was on a long walk with a new friend, and I don't remember exactly what I said to him, but at some point I basically bragged to him that somebody who we were both close with had given me a friendship bracelet instead of him. Now, we all know that in the social currency of hippie love camp, friendship bracelets are like the gold standard, right? So here I was, genuinely enjoying this person's company, and then saying this awful thing to him about who was closer friends with who. But my new friend responded to my unkindness with love, and he did it in a way that I literally did not know was possible. He looked me in the eye, and he smiled, and he told me how glad he was that I was finding a home here. This was a person of creative love. If you've had people like that in your own life, would you say out loud right now, creative love?
Creative love.
Whatever nonsense I'd learned about social hierarchy or whatever awful lessons I had internalized about how men are supposed to speak to each other. I saw for that moment, at least, for the ridiculousness that it was. I showed up believing that competition and put downs was the way to build a relationship, and he showed up with a love that dismantles that status quo. He had literally loved the hell out of me. If we have any hope for building the kind of world that we want to live in, the kind of world we've envisioned in our hearts and articulated in our principles, we need to seek out these kinds of mentors that love us enough to meet us where we're at and love us enough not to let us stay there. And then we need to go out in the world and be that person for others, because nobody but nobody can make it here alone. Back in college, I attended a weekend-long street medic training, and I learned a lot of useful things about how to support protesters at mass demonstrations, how to wipe pepper spray off the skin and flush tear gas from the eyes. But the thing that has stuck with me the most ever since then was our first half hour together, our opening check-in. We were asked to go around and share our names and where we were from, what brought us there, and also share our preferred pronouns, whether we wanted to be called by he or she or they or something else. Now, all of my life, people had read my gender in somewhat complicated ways. But this was the first time in my 20s, this was the first time anyone had ever explicitly given me the option of asking how I identified. No one had ever asked before. Going on to learn the stories of transgender people in my life and in reading, I began to recognize that while I continued to identify as male, I began to recognize how the multitude of behaviors and thoughts and feelings and preferences that make me the unique person I am have been carved up and placed in these narrow boxes of gender, boy or girl, male or female. This invitation to share my pronoun was a gift. You don't have to call yourself by what the rest of the world has always called you. You can show up here with your full self as you are, no costume required. There are few among us for whom this made-up story of gender has not limited our understandings of who we are or who we might be. I heard a story a while back about basketball star Wilt Chamberlain, who, while he was one of the greatest basketball players to ever play the game, was terrible at free throws. Now, free throws are the only time in basketball where you get to stand right in front of the basket and make a shot without anyone in your way, but Chamberlain only made an atrocious 40% of these shots. Except for one game, which was actually the highest scoring game of all time, when he made 90% of his free throws. What was the difference in this one game? He was throwing underhand from between his legs. I don't know about you, I was taught in middle school that that was called granny style. Perhaps not appropriate. It turns out, though, that this is a much better way to shoot free throws. But at the end of the game, Chamberlain went back to throwing overhand and went back to missing. And the only reason he ever gave for the switch was that throwing underhand made him feel like a sissy. To the greatest basketball player of all time, the only thing more important than the game that he dedicated his life to, more important than his career, more important than even being a good teammate, was not looking like a sissy. I wish that he had had a summer camp friend like mine, or a progressive faith community like this that could have, if not loved the hell out of him, at least loved the bad free throwing out of him. Friends, religion ought to be a place where we dismantle the boxes that have been placed over us and locked down around us. If you agree, would you say dismantle the boxes?
Dismantle.
Religious community should be a place of love that comes in rainbow colors. Dear ones, there are those of us who were raised as boys and we were educated into this masculinity. We who call ourselves men have sometimes chosen misguided understandings of status over our relationships. We were taught to choose image over authenticity, to value speaking more than listening, or objectification instead of real connection. Fellow men, if that describes some piece of your own story, as it certainly does mine, will you join me in recommitting to building the skills of beloved community that sets our relationships ahead of the false idols of status and power? If so, fellow men, would you say I do? Thank you. So similarly, for those of us educated into the myth of whiteness, we have too often valued comfort over justice. We were taught to value individualism over community and intellectualized empathy instead of gut-level transformation, when transformation is what our country so badly needs now more than ever. Fellow white folks, at a time when our government and our country continues to separate families of color at the border and in detention centers across the country, when we continue policies of mass incarceration that have been so devastating to families and communities of color all over, and at a time when our government continues to execute people of color in the streets without reprisal, fellow white folks, will you join me in recommitting to moving through the discomfort of re-education and commit to loving justice, not just as an idea, but as a new way of life together? If so, would you say I do? Thank you. Those of us of all different kinds of identities have all different kinds of commitments to be making. If we're going to build the kind of world that we have envisioned in our hearts and articulated in our principles, because nobody but nobody can make it out here alone. In Canada, a few years ago, there was a particularly concerning online video that went viral and started making the news. The video was of a conservative white religious woman rapping about how transgender people should not be allowed to use the bathrooms for which they identify. That's right, I said rapping. This video was offensive on multiple fronts. Do not Google it. An 11-year-old Unitarian Universalist friend of mine named Anthony James wanted to respond to this video because, having grown up in Unitarian Universalist community, it had never occurred to him that religion would be used for the purposes of discrimination. That's sweet, huh? Anthony wanted to respond because, as someone who himself identifies as gender creative, his religious community had been the first place where he was totally accepted without reservation. And so he organized his mom and then dozens of other congregations from across Canada to come together and make a new video. A video sending messages of love and support to the trans community and naming the role of religion in celebrating our full humanity, regardless of gender expression. Now, when Anthony's mother perhaps legitimately expressed concern about him as a gender creative 11-year-old posting a video of himself speaking out online on this controversial issue, she said, "Some people out there will hold this against you." But 11-year-old Anthony responded, "Right, Mom, that's not a reason to be quiet. That is a reason to speak up." As a white guy with a middle-class background, I sometimes feel like I showed up wearing just the right costume to this party. It means that by some accident of fate, things around me can seem more equitable than they are for my neighbors, that things can look safer than they are for other folks. I need people like Anthony and like my summer camp friend to mentor for me, to teach me the ways of beloved community. Would you say beloved community?
Beloved community.
I invite you to join me in seeking out those mentors that can show us the better way that we didn't know was possible, because together we can find those moments where we can change the rules of the game. Would you say change the rules? Where we've been limited by made-up stories of race and gender, and where we recognize those systems of oppression surrounding us and also within us. Let's get together and dismantle the false binaries wherever we find them and tear down the walls to justice. Would you say tear down the walls?
Tear down the walls.
And in our prayers and in our words and in our faithful collective action, let's go forward in love to build the world that we know is possible. Would you say love?
Love.
Would you say love?
Love.
May it be so. And amen.